There's this word here. Have you come across this word much, by the way? I think it's a social media kind of tag channel, and this word seems to appear everywhere. The word blessed. Anybody ever said it, by the way? It's okay. Said it. Hashtag blessed or blessed, you know, I'm so blessed. And I think that for many of us, what we're saying is, I'm very grateful. Right? Aren't we saying that? When you say I'm blessed, you're saying, I'm so grateful. I recognize all that we have. I recognize all that I've been giving. For a lot of people, you'll know, I think I might see this hashtag blessed on someone's social media feed, and it means this picture came out perfect. So happy about it. Or I'm feeling good and looking good because I just want you to know I'm blessed. I'm getting what I've always wanted. Here it is. I got my raise. I got my new car. I'm blessed. And for others, it's my family. I'm blessed. So this word, good word, this word, definitely an appropriate word. Sometimes when I hear that word, I often think to myself about this scene. Do you remember the scene in The Princess Bride where this word keeps being used, inconceivable? You remember that? Inconceivable. And then finally, Inigo goes, I don't think that word means what you think it means. I think about that sometimes when I hear the word blessed. I often think, I think I know what we're saying, but if you aren't careful, you forget that there is actually, if you belong to Jesus, you get to supercharge that word. If you belong to Jesus, you get to upgrade that word in a way that you never use it the same. It's the same thing. I've started to feel this conviction, and this has kind of developed me a long, long time ago. Do you know, you don't have to do this. You don't. You do not have to do this. I stopped using the word awesome. And I stopped using the word awesome because during a series that I was sharing with you all called Awe, I started to learn what the word awesome means. Capital A, awesome. And once I learned what capital A, awesome was, I was like, I don't know if I can use that word anymore. I don't think it means what I think it means. So I try to resist, or if I tell you you're awesome, I'm going to add lowercase a. Is that okay? I mean, you are awesome, lowercase a. Not insulting, just saying not capital letter A, right? So I think when you belong to Jesus, you can amp up and ramp up this word blessed. And here's why. Because we get something that qualifies this word blessed, and it's the word gospel. Now, if you've heard the word gospel enough times that doesn't mean much to you, you probably don't get supercharged. You probably aren't necessarily amped up thinking about it. It probably doesn't get you all kind of so grateful. But it can, it has the power to, if you can really take it in. And Paul attempts in the book of Ephesians to help the new believers who are living in a wealthy, prosperous coastal city called Ephesus. He tries to tell them, you've got something like awesome, capital A. You've got something that you need to be alert to now that you are in Jesus. You've got something that you need to own and know and remember, and that is you are blessed. And then he describes what it means to be blessed. Then what he's describing is so helpful for us. And here's what he says. To be blessed, there's really nothing more we need than the gospel. And what that means is that when you have Jesus, Jesus plus nothing equals everything. That means that if you lose everything and you belong to Jesus, you still have everything. So he describes this in the book of Ephesians here, and it's important for us to grasp what he's doing, what Paul, who wrote the letter to the church at Ephesus, what he's doing and what he's trying to accomplish. And he summarizes the story and how specifically this gospel story, what it is, and then how it should reshape our story. So he tells an unbelievable story of God's good and gracious gospel. And then he says, but there's actually, this isn't just good information. This is actually good transformation for you and everyone who belongs to Jesus. And Paul basically teaches that the gospel makes a way for a brand new multi-ethnic family to take shape and become a new community. And he describes how it's possible now because It's possible because of the gospel for your life to be transformed, not just informed. And then he helps us better understand that there is a new humanity that's available to those who believe and belong to Jesus. And this new humanity comes and shows itself in love and unity. And here's how he structures the letter. This is kind of cool. If you're a literature nerd, I'm going to throw you a little bone here. You ready for this? Here's how the book of Ephesians is structured. Gospel story, 3 chapters. Therefore, everything hinges. So there is this kind of this propositional truth, and then there's these implications that come after it. So he says, here's 3 chapters of everything you need to know that is the good, blessed story of God and his grace called the gospel. It's all good news, but that's not the end of the story. Therefore, your story is dramatically affected and reshaped. And I know this, that our church family is full of people who know the gospel story, but more importantly, therefore, it has reshaped your story, your personal story, your life story, your heart story, your marriage story, your home story, your neighborhood story has been reformed and reshaped. How many are there out there? Would you show me how many of you, your story has been reshaped by this good news, right? So we see Jesus's work on the cross permeating every single part of our story. And by the way, this means we have access to a blessing from God that we can never lose and that is always at work reshaping our story. So here's what Paul does. In the letter, he makes a call to put on your new humanity, to become a new human, new and better, new and different, or maybe new and improved. Whoever you are, 2.0, this is what he gives us. And these particular humans who are brand new, these particular humans whose lives have been reshaped, their stories have been reshaped, they are the ones who are living and loving just like Jesus. So the old humans were divided. They were divided by ethnicity. They were divided by socioeconomic classes. They were divided by their cultural identity. And the new humans now, through the gospel, have the power to overcome the barriers that separate God's people by ethnicity, socioeconomic barriers and boundaries, and also cultural identity. All those barriers have been overcome because of the good news of the gospel and the way that reshapes our lives. And Paul describes all of that in the book of Ephesians. So God has this vision that he reveals in this letter. And in this vision for new humanity, he envisioned the people who belong to Jesus will be unified by the Spirit, and they will be unified by their trust and hope in Jesus alone. That's it. That's the only real unity that it's, you know, it reminds me, we used to camp at the small little campground in the summertime. And when I say camp, I mean, I know some of you are particular about camping and the word camping. By that, I mean a camper. You don't get around by hiking. You get around by golf cart, right? So that's a different kind of camping. That's where we started. Eventually, we actually upgraded from that, and we get around by our car. But when we first started camping, we ended up at a campsite belonging to my parents. But we would take the golf cart, and we would drive around in the golf cart. And when we first got there, it was a little bit odd that everyone we drove by in the golf cart were coming at us in their golf cart. Of course, they had all the NASCAR golf carts and, you know, all different kinds of, I don't know. Here comes Jeff Gordon. Oh, my gosh. It's amazing. So one of the things that was really odd wasn't that they were driving golf carts, was that total 100% complete strangers would wave to us. What's up? We're driving by. Hey, how's it going? They're waving at us. Is it us? We're looking over our shoulder. I think they're waving at us. I honestly think they're waving at us. Next person, boom, wave at us. Then we go by a campfire, you know, a whole bunch of people sitting around a campfire. You know what they do? Wave to us. I thought to myself, why is everybody waving at us? They don't know us. They have no idea who we are. And then eventually I discovered, because they share something in common. They're campers. Camper just saw a camper and said, "There, hey, honey, there's a camper. Wave to the camper." Everybody, the whole family waves to the camper. Good to see you. We're campers too. And I also notice people who ride motorcycles, they do the same thing. Sometimes it's a little treacherous. Like on 690, I see them like raise a pinky. Hey, 2 pinkies, which is safe. I'd be very happy if that was my son or daughter. But they wave to each other, and you know what they're saying? We have something that unifies us. You ever seen veterans see each other? Start talking to each other like they've been friends forever? You guys know each other? No, we're veterans. Listen, here's what Paul says in the book of Ephesians. Paul is teaching that your unity that is brought to you by the work of the Holy Spirit and your shared trust and hope in Jesus is a deeper bond than any camper. It's a deeper bond than any motorcycle, dude or dudette. It's more tight and thorough and deep than any veteran. And it is the unity that brings God's family together in the hope of Jesus and in the work of the Holy Spirit, which means you and I, according to the book of Ephesians, have incumbent upon us the power to overcome all the barriers that separate non-old human beings, non-belongers to Jesus. Our unity transcends political party, ideology, neighborhood, church location, where you live, where you shop, what items you buy, and where you work. You already knew this. But what it means is that when we get around other believers, I think this is probably never going to work, but what if we just started to acknowledge there's a Christian wave? I mean, some of you already like that. You meet a Christian in line at Wegmans, and you're hugging on him, and like, whoa, easy. And like, yeah, we're Christians, right? Culturally, doesn't work. But I want you to see this. The whole book of Ephesians is about how the unity of the body brings the ability to overcome barriers that separate most cultures, most communities, and most churches. Regardless of ethnicity, cultural identity, or socioeconomic background. And you might say, there's got to be more to it. There is. That's just the implications of it. And we learn about what that is when we get to see a wide view of the gospel of grace. Now, there is, in chapter 1, verses 1 to 14, I just wanted to warn you. This could be and should be, verses 1 to 14, a series on its own. One chapter, 14 verses, could be 6 months. Anybody studied the book of Ephesians before? I love it. I love it. It's so rich and it's so good. Every verse, in my opinion, game changer. Game changer. So this is only a 9-week series. It's only 9 weeks, and I was kind of looking more closely at the work that I had done to prepare it, thinking, did I do 9 weeks for chapter one, I hope? 9 weeks, whole series. So that is the disclaimer. I want to skim chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. In just a few minutes, you're just going to skim it so you get you just get to look at it, okay? Just get to look at it. And by the way, on our church app and our church website, when you get to the resources or the grow button on our church app, it'll take you to the message series resources. Please go look at the video describing the book of Ephesians. Take advantage of the podcast on the book of Ephesians. Take advantage, if you would, of all the aspects that are on there. In fact, there's a poster that you can print out and you can go over it with your family, or if you're kind of an artist, you might appreciate the way that it lays out the whole book. There's so much there, so much extra. Grow on your own in between Sundays. I hope you take advantage of that. You can also find it on the church app, the very first layer of cards there. And the first time you go all the way to the right, you'll see the word grow, and it'll take you right to the message series. But anyways, so the wide view, by the way, of this being gospel blessed, the wide view hits four aspects. Very briefly, I want to touch on them. It touches on our past. Gospel blessed refers to our present, our future, and then also our forever. And all of that has been reshaped by the good news of being gospel blessed. For those who rest their confident hope and trust in Jesus. Is it for everybody? This is not for everybody. In other words, these blessings, spiritual blessings, these are not for everybody. These are for people who are joined to Jesus. They have rested their confident hope and trust in Jesus and who he is and what he's accomplished, and not anyone or anyone else. So here's how it starts. For those who are united with Jesus, here's what you can expect. Hashtag blessed. If you belong to Jesus, you can expect a supercharged, supernatural, life-changing, game-changing, reshaping life that is blessed. So what does that mean? What does it mean to be, and this is super important, to be united with Jesus? What does that mean? I can't even tell you how important this means. One of the phrases you would hear is united in Christ, or you'll hear in Christ. This is a super important phrase. I've mentioned this to you before. One of my favorite phrases in the book of Ephesians, Paul writes this phrase 5 times. It appears 160 times in other letters. 160 times. If you belong to Jesus, if you consider yourself a serious Christian, we have to know what this word means, united in Christ, or what this phrase means. We have to know what it means. What it means is that we're blessed through Jesus. We're not just blessed as Jesus becomes the mechanism for which God gives us things. That's not what it means, right? Instead, it means that in Christ, I am personally blessed by having personal relationship with the creator of the universe in Jesus and through Jesus. And it's so vital for us to see that our blessings are intended for us to be enjoyed with him, not just from him, but with Jesus and in relationship with him. And it answers the remaining questions, who am I? The remaining questions about who am I are answered by you're in Christ. You belong to Jesus. You are unified or united to Christ. And so let's do this really quick. Here's a really quick teaching on what does it mean to be united with Christ. You have to think of two individuals in the Bible to fully grasp this. One is Adam. One is Jesus. And in 1 Corinthians, Paul says, at first, if we're not a new human, we're an old human, and at first, we're in Adam. And Adam, by his sin, rebellion, pride, living for his own glory, he was condemned to die and is separated from God. But then came along by God's grace, what? A new Adam. And that new Adam is Jesus. And when we appear before God, here's what is taught in 1 Corinthians. When we appear before God, we're either seen and received by God as Adam, or we're seen and received by God as Jesus. So in other words, here's what he says. You are either in Adam or you are in Jesus. And Adam, by the way, died. In fact, the scripture goes like this, for as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. So you're in Adam, it's death and separation from God. If you're in Jesus, you come alive in resurrection life and live for eternity with God, with Jesus, and so on. So that's a real kind of quick summary is what it means to be in Christ. It means you're found in Jesus. So what we have and who we have doesn't make us blessed, right? So the question I have for you is, where has God blessed us? And it's so easy for us to think, well, it's what we have. That's how I post it out, and that's what I'm very thankful for, the blessings based on what I have. Or you might think, it's really not what I have. I don't need anything. I'm blessed in who I have, my family, my loved ones, my spouse and grandkids and grandparents and so on. But wait, there's more than that. There's even more than that worth investigating. Check this out. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, this is verse 3, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. Because we are, here's this phrase, united with Christ. So, the spiritual blessings we enjoy, what are they? They're not just blessings, not just who we have and what we have, but the spiritual blessings that we enjoy, we only enjoy them, and we get to enjoy them from the time we first trust in Jesus. They're called spiritual blessings, and they are, check this out, I wrote it up there so that you can absorb this. They are the eternal treasures of being personally reconciled to God. That means that spiritual blessings are everything that come along with no longer being separated from God. Now that we're with God in Jesus instead of in Adam, we have these spiritual blessings. They are the eternal treasures of personal reconciliation with God. So a good way to think of God's blessings, or maybe his glorious grace, is to think about them. I mentioned this to you before, but I'm going to frame it this way. Our past, our present, our future, and our forever. So starting with our past, even before he made the world, God loved us. See what I mean? I mean, we could spend quite a bit of time on that. And he chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Even before you're born, God loved you, chose us. He decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us into himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted. This is what he wanted to do. And it gave God great pleasure to do it. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out. Glorious grace he has poured out on. When did he pour out his grace? He already poured it out. It's our past. This is something that has happened in the past. And a good way to think of his glorious grace is a past blessing. In the past, this happened. Now, is this a big deal that God chose the human race to love? Is this a big deal that God chose the human race to be adopted as his very own family? Is that a big deal? How can you imagine? Well, there's some implications to that, but one of the things that kind of comes to my mind is just imagine. Do you remember, some of you remember recess in elementary school? You remember recess in elementary school? I've heard since then that there are people who tell me that recess at elementary school was the worst experience of their life. They were tortured. And one of the ways they were tortured is you let kids line up other kids and then pick teams. And that for some who weren't picked so early, it's a little bit of public humiliation and torture, right? So this idea of God choosing us and adopting us before we're even existing is a similar idea of you lining up on the wall at recess along the school, and then it's time to pick teams, and somebody picks you first on their dodgeball team. They've never seen you play. They just, I'll take that one right there. You're like, you've never seen me play, right? Very probably even similar to getting selected at work to join the elite work team on your first day of joining the company. And you're kind of like, wow, I don't know how that happened. You might think of it this way. It's like standing in line to enlist, and when you're enlisted into the special, the armed services of our country, one of the branches, when you get done filling out the application, they say, well, there's two lines. Here's regular folk, and then special forces are over here. You can join special forces. Like, no way, please. Kidding. It's an honor, right? And if you're sent to the special forces line before or just while you're enlisting, you can learn something else. It has nothing to do with your performance on the battlefield. If you get sent to the elite squad at work the day you start, it doesn't have anything to do with your work ethic. If you get selected, you're on the playground and you get picked first, it's your first time playing dodgeball, no one's ever seen you play, you get picked first, it has nothing to do with your special ability. In other words, what God is saying here is, I selected you because I wanted you, and it's not based on whether you're failing or succeeding. It's not based on whether you're performing or you're not. It's not based on your good choices. It's based on my grace and mercy, right? It's based instead on the goodness of God. Our past blessing is entirely a work of God on our behalf. From beginning to end, our salvation qualifications, God has satisfied them in Jesus. We didn't show potential to God. God showed mercy to us. Does that make sense? And so you and I get to enjoy that as a past blessing that God didn't wait and see how it was going to go for you. Right? What a disaster. Wait and see how this goes. If they make good choices, if they raise a good family, if they don't flunk out in school, if they don't drop the ball in relationships, if they're good neighbors instead of bad neighbors, or God didn't wait to see how we're going to do. He already had it in his mind. I love them. I choose them. I want to adopt them and have them belong to my family based on his mercy. That's a game changer. It's a game changer. It's past blessing that we get. Check this out. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with what? Our time, our energy, our attention, our faithfulness, or so? No. With the blood of his son, and he forgave our sins. He has showered us with kindness. His kindness leads to repentance, not his bullying, his demands, his rules, his discipline. What leads to repentance? His kindness. He showered us with his kindness, along with giving us all his wisdom and all his understanding. Do you know why you and I understand the world? Because we have the Bible and we have a biblical worldview, and we go, I kind of understand how the world works. I know there's trouble. I know there's a creator. I know how it's going to end. I know how to live in between time. So what does that mean? One of the spiritual blessings that we've been given is everyday kindness. Everyday kindness that my Father lavishes his grace upon me. He lavishes, constantly helping me more than I deserve. All my sins are completely forgiven. I am no longer atoning for my own sins. I'm enjoying all, I love this, all the legal rights and all the personal delights of knowing God. Amazing. By grace, I'm growing in his wisdom. By grace, I'm growing in his understanding. By grace, God hasn't given up on me and said, I expected so much more from you. Boop, I always picture this, right? Off the planet, just a little tiny tap. Sometimes I get a little gory, it's like a little flick, just done, I'm done with you, boom, gone. Doesn't happen, why? Kindness of God, grace of God. So his everyday kindness means you and I get to live and love each other, live with God and love God, to grow in wisdom and understanding of all the mysteries of God's plan. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Jesus. I love that. At the right time, he sent Jesus, and at the right time, Jesus comes back, and he gathers everything together that belongs to him, all creation, humans that he's adopted, and the creation that he made. He brings it under submission and authority of Jesus. Everything in heaven and on earth is brought together. Furthermore, we are united with Christ. We have an inheritance from God. So what does gospel blessed mean? What does spiritual blessing mean? It means future inheritance. It means there is a future inheritance. If you know me personally, you may have heard me tell the story that about my parents and how they passed away pretty broke. They passed away pretty broke. It was illustrated one time when I was kind of helping settle my mom's estate, and we had indicated to the state that her Medicaid was completely legit and it was all taken care of because my mom didn't have anything. And then we got a form asking me to confirm and affirm that I answered correctly, that my mom basically only had one dresser when she died and the contents of the dresser that belonged to her. And when my dad passed away, he had a minivan and whatever we could pack into his minivan, which, by the way, was a lot, turns out. So they left behind no inheritance. They spent the last bit of years on their life with a dresser full of my, by the way, my mom, just a little side note, if you want to know my mom, this is fascinating. All the stuff in the dresser, in bags in the dresser. And now my wife would be like, you know what I would give to be able to get those? I wish I'd have known this. When they said, do you want what's in the dresser? I'll take those plastic Wegmans bags, actually. I'll take those as my inheritance. Who knew? Who knew? And there was like 10 Bitcoins. We're like, they're not worth anything. So you can take those away. Not true. So that's what my parents leave with. Nothing. Minivan full of stuff, tools, boxes, dresser full of plastic bags and some clothes, turtlenecks, sweatpants. But you know why I'm rejoicing? Because though my parents were able to leave no inheritance and lived broke here on earth, do you know they graduated into eternal wealth? Do you know they graduated into infinite riches that have come to them by the kindness of God? Do you know they left behind that ratty old dresser and that clunky old van, and they graduated into the very presence of God? And you imagine this, that God eventually says to them, here's your van and here's your dresser. No, he says, here's my son. Here's Jesus. He's yours. He was yours then, and he's yours now. And the inheritance, when you imagine an inheritance and you belong to Jesus, you're unified with Christ and you're in Jesus, game changer. What that means is you and I don't have to struggle and suffer and work our way into kind of absorbing someone's inheritance that they may or may not be leaving to you. You can say, I don't need any of that because I already got an inheritance and it's promised to me. It's secure. And by the way, my inheritance is coming in the future and it's supernatural. My mom used to say, it's super-roo. Isn't that a good word? You can use it. You can use it. It's not patented if you can imagine that. It's a supernatural inheritance that's awaiting all of God's people. When I am joined by faith to Jesus like my mom, when I'm joined to faith in Jesus like my dad, it doesn't matter what your social or financial status is on earth. It immediately gets supernaturally upgraded when you pass on. So I don't have to fear being broke in the future. Some of you watching, you're watching this market, right? Some of you are watching the housing market. Some of you are watching the investment market. Some of you are kind of already in on the crypto. You're watching the crypto numbers go, you know, so volatile, and you're thinking, what about my inheritance? I think it's an absolutely normal and perfectly legitimate thought to think. But even better, it doesn't have to determine your mood. It doesn't have to determine your attitude. It doesn't have to shape or shift how you feel about how your life circumstances is going, because you have an honored place in the future in heaven with the greatest treasure that God's ever given, who is his son, and he's going to make all things new again for those who belong to Jesus. That's our future. Now, really quick, God's purpose in the future was that we Jews, who were the first to trust in Jesus, would bring praise and glory to God. That was the purpose of the Jews, right? To bring praise and glory to God. Then, now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. He did this so that we, the Jews and the Gentiles, would praise and glorify him. What does this mean? It means you have a purpose. And when your spiritual blessing kind of settles in on you, when you have gospel blessed in your life, it means that you have forever worship. That means your purpose now and forever is to praise God, who is the most glorious. That means you already know what your purpose is after this life is over. Every aspect of our lives is to declare and delight in God's grace, in God's goodness, in his glory. We just delight in it now and forever. Everything that is his will belong to him, and our forever worship will belong to him. Everything that's his will also belong to us, and everything that we have and everything that we are belongs to Jesus. So we are to be worshipers before we are to be workers, now and forever. Try to grasp that. Before we are working for Jesus, we are worshipers of Jesus. Right? That's another game changer. If you grew up in a church culture that was do, and then it would be easy to get lost as the worker, but we're worshipers before we are workers. So how do I ensure these gospel blessings reshape my life? Well, lastly, here's the application for you. Never distort why these blessings are coming to you. Never distort why these blessings are coming to you. Check this out. Reminder, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, every spiritual blessing, right? Every spiritual blessing. This is not referring to material wealth. This is not referring to who you have on earth and what you have. It's better than that. Every spiritual blessing is ours because we are united with Christ. What this also means, it's not because we are slavishly obedient. We're not getting these things because we're declaring our faith. It's not because we are faithful to Jesus. It's because we have faith in Jesus. And that's huge. That means it's never lost by failing. It's never lost by losing your way. It's never lost by being a flawed person. You are united with Jesus by your faith, not by your faithfulness. So important to grasp that and hold on to that. So if they are not ending, keep this in mind. That means that our spiritual blessings are not ending when we've lost everything else. Why do I say that? Because when you lose the stuff, when you lose your investment portfolio, when you lose your apartment, when you lose your home, when you lose your car, when you lose your health, should we say, well, I mean, we had spiritual blessings, now they're gone. It's not how it works. This means that even after we lose those things, we have something more eternally valuable. And that is spiritual blessings that cannot be taken from us, that we can't be separated from. Let's pray together. Father, thank you today and pray that you would work deeply in our hearts. That you would help our hearts, help our minds. May we find a way to be reshaped, refocused, and re-energized by our unity with Christ, by our union with Jesus. And for every person who is with us today. Every person in person, every person participating in our live stream, I pray that you would increase the delight and the joy that comes along with all of the spiritual blessings that you've given us. We hope in those things. And I pray for those, God, who, I pray for those people, Father, who are feeling the stuff of earth slip away. Their job, their retirement, their investment, their equity in their home, their health, as it slips away, I pray that you'd remind them that the spiritual blessings that were theirs because of Christ are theirs today because of Christ. They have everything they could possibly need in Jesus. We pray that you'd rescue us from fear of failing you, rescue us from fear of losing everything, rescue us from the fear of wanting blessings and missing all that we have that come by spiritual blessings. And we thank you for that. And now, all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or we might think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus. Through all the generations, glory to God. Now, glory to God forever. Amen.